and it's time for a Thursday Cowboys Game Day edition of Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Smith Thompson Home Security and Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
Guys, I'm afraid I may have to say goodbye.
Yeah? Where are you going?
To not only the show, but the ticket, and also to my website. I received an email.
Hadn't been paid
to me. Subject line: your employment status. Dear Gordon, employee at GordonKeith.com company.
That's quite a company.
We are deeply saddened to inform you that your term of employment at GordonKeith.com company has come to an immediate end.
Wow.
Due to the effect of COVID-19 epidemic in our company. We have no choice but to end your employment with us because we cannot service all the employees anymore.
Okay.
This decision is effective immediately.
Damn.
And the original documents for the cancellation of your employment will be given to you in 3 days' time.
So it's not that immediate.
Note! Exclamation point. This, and that's a lowercase t on this. This is just like a redundant leave. Find attached your 2 months' salary receipt. We thank you for your service, and we wish it didn't have to end this way.
You need to click on that link for the salary receipt.
Yeah. Sincerely, Human Resources Manager. That's how they signed it. And they CC'd CEO at GordonKeith.com. So, yeah, I guess I need to open up this salary receipt. Yeah. That's what the file is marked.
I would look into that.
It's an EXE file. Let's see what it is here.
Wait. I've had cyber training. Don't do that.
Well, it's too late. Well.
Oh, no.
Oh, this sucks. I can't see what the attachment was because my monitor just went out. dang it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well. Oh, nuts.
You find out later.
Is there a video attached?
Huh?
How many times have you been fired?
Via email?
No, just fired in life.
Ooh, that's a good question. So, I have not had too many jobs in my short time on this earth. As you can imagine, because the ticket has taken
up the majority of it. You're basically a teenager when you started working up here.
Yeah, I have had side gigs while at the ticket. And I was kind of fired from one of my side gigs. Remember the Johnny Oates?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about that.
Imbroglio.
Who are you?
What is your primary function?
What is that microphone doing?
What am microphone?
Okay, that,
that was when I was the man in the stands for the Texas Rangers television broadcast, and I did that, I don't know, 5, 10 times? I don't know how many times it was. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
And because the Hardline was broadcasting out at the ballpark, and I used to do some wireless stuff for them, and I went down and stuck a microphone in front of the then manager of the Rangers, Johnny Oates.
Last time I saw you, you were in a
he
canoe.
Didn't say that. Yeah, he did. That was from another bit.
The last time I saw you.
That doesn't even make any sense.
You're in a canoe.
That's a very rare phrase in the English language. But so he sees the microphone that I've stuck in front of his face. He was talking to other reporters. So I didn't think it was a secret what he was doing, but he freaked out on me. What is that? Is that a live microphone? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you are out of, what is your name? You are out of here. You are no longer human.
You were the man in the stands and he didn't even know your name.
No. Because I was working under my radio press hat at that time. So, I didn't know there's a rule that when a baseball manager is talking to writers, that no electronic media is allowed to be around. Is it a written rule, or is it just like that's the unspoken rule?
It's one of the unwritten rules of baseball.
Mm-hmm. So, he freaked out, and then oddly enough, in a weird coincidence, I was called into the television production studios about 2 days later, and they said, "Yeah, you know, we thank you for your service. We're going in a different direction."
Oh, a different direction.
And get this, I believe they swore it was not in any way related to the incident that had happened 2 days before, in which Johnny Oates, the manager of the Rangers, yelled at me. They said they were going in a different direction, and guess who they hired?
Nolan's son?
Nolan Ryan's son, yeah. Reed Ryan. He became the new man in the stands.
Yeah, I've only been fired once, and that was a side gig.
Jerry fired you.
Mm-hmm.
He hired you and fired you.
Yep.
And he hired you because you had dirt on him.
I did not have
and
dirt on him.
He fired you because
he thought I'd be a great PA guy.
That was another odd coincidence that you were hired shortly after you had spent a night out on the town in New Orleans.
He just realized
all
how talented
Jerry
I was.
Jones.
He saw me sing with the Beatles cover band, and he thought I was great.
That is still one of the greatest stories of all time. Yes. How did you hook up with him that night? Because you were with us earlier in the night.
Random.
I was with Junior. We ran into him.
Well, where was I?
You left. You said out, and you were gone.
Oh. And so you ran into Jerry. Both of you did.
Mm-hmm.
But only one of you ended up.
We split up. George and I were out with a few other people from the Dallas media on Bourbon Street that night. And then somehow we split up. You ended up in a different bar and Jerry walked in. I never saw Jerry.
Oh, okay,
that
I thought
night.
You were at that place with me.
No.
I thought you saw the sit down, what are you drinking moment. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, the city they're in right now.
And you guys were rooming together on the road at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way I remember it is that George came in at about 4 in the morning. And
a little later than that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like 7.
It was, yeah.
And your glasses were broken.
He had one lens had popped out.
Yeah, so we got to get these fixed at some point today. I'm going to bed.
And Craig said, what happened? And you said, man, it is a long story. I'll tell you later. And you crashed. And then when you did end up telling the story, it involved Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And the New Orleans police and Freezy and Jerry giving George cash to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Just an insane night. That had to be the craziest night of your life.
Didn't he give you like a wad of hundreds? It was like $1,000.
I don't know if it was that much, but it was several hundred dollars.
And he gave you, we're getting to that part, but he gave you that money and instructed you to do what?
Take care of that side of the bar, and he was going to take care of... He and Willie Rofe were going to take care of that side of the bar.
I forgot Willie Rofe was in on it.
I am insane.
Let me introduce you to Willie Rofe. Well, yeah, I know who he is, but...
God.
Why did he latch onto you?
I don't know. I was just a lava lamp for him that night for
and
some reason.
How early in the night? Because it was causing some tension between Jerry and his family members.
Probably 9 p.m., 10 p.m.
Yeah, somewhere around there. They were ready to go home, and he wasn't.
Gene was with him originally.
Yes.
And she wanted to go home.
Yes.
And Jerry had a few.
And I was a messenger to tell him that, and that's when it all started.
Okay, so that's why he hooked onto you.
Yes.
Is because Gene had asked you to go tell Jerry that
it
was time to go, and let's go ahead and let's go ahead and turn off the record player and dim the lights and start sweeping up.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry said what to you?
Get the F out of my face. When I told him it's time to probably
Which
go.
I don't blame him because you're getting in the middle of a family thing.
Well, I was just carrying
So this is on Gene for asking you to get involved. I mean, she shouldn't have...
All she said was, I was a few in, so I thought, yeah, that sounds reasonable. I'll go tell Jerry, hey, I just thought it was, hey, they're leaving.
You didn't
know
what you were stepping into.
I just thought it was, hey, they're leaving.
You didn't know that you were stepping into an argument that had been going on for about 40 years before you got there.
Or at least 4 hours. And then, not 2 seconds later, I apologize, sit down, what are you drinking?
And the love affair started.
Yes.
Coors
Light. And then all of a sudden you were Jerry's best friend.
Yeah.
He goes from his first words that evening to you, or were you talking to him before this?
No, I'd said hi to him before because when we went in, hey, there's Jerry. And we were doing a weekly show with him at the time, so yeah, we caught up, talked a little sports, and then I said, "Oh, and hey, by the way,
your family says they're ready to leave, Jerry. Just wanted to pass it along.
Get the blank out of my face.
I apologize.
Sit down. What are you drinking?"
And off we went. And then best off night went, ever.
And you guys started partying.
Yeah. We just realized we were.
And his family left shortly thereafter, but you did not.
Oh, yeah. They, so, I mean, they left.
When you picked sides.
I don't think I'd hit
you
the
went
chair
with the Jerry
yet
side,
they,
not the Jean side.
Right. I don't think my butt had hit the chair yet before the rest of the party had left.
One of my favorite parts of that story is how you said that cut to a little bit later in the evening. You're up on stage singing with a Beatles cover band, and mm-hmm. you look out in the audience, and Jerry is looking at you lovingly with glassy eyes, pointing at you with a big smile on his face.
Wasn't he giving you the guns?
Yeah, he gave me the guns. That was great. Best time ever.
So full throttle, and you stayed out. And then afterwards, you guys ended up in the back of a police squad car, right?
Yeah, not that we were in trouble, but that's how they were giving him transportation.
And is that where Jerry hand-fed you a chili dog?
Yes. To taste as he called it a piece of heaven on earth. And it was. Boy, that's the best chili dog I've ever had.
Amazing.
Now, maybe it's because it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
In the back of a squad car, Jerry Jones shoved a chili dog down your throat.
Kind of.
Wouldn't even let you hold it. He was holding it.
Taste this. I think
here, try a little bit. Like he's feeding a seven-year-old. It's so weird.
That's great.
And didn't you say the next time you saw him after all of this was like a month or so later out at Valley Ranch for a press conference, and he did a double take when he saw you and then kind of looked down.
Kind of gave me a wink.
Like, oh, yeah. And then a month after that memory was rekindled, then a month later he asked you to be the PA guy.
Yeah, I don't know if the time is something.
That's so clearly.
Something like that.
Hey, Steven, we got to bring this guy into the fold. Yeah. He's got too much.
I mean, there's no way he'll ever talk about it on his radio show one
nah,
day.
There's
but...
no way.
And so that led to a 10-year gig with the Cowboys yeah. doing PA.
But, you know, in addition to all the craziness, we really did have, like, some wild football discussions. I mean, just
that
like... Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, heart-of-the-matter football discussions.
Hey, listen to me. One day there's going to be a guy named Johnny Football. I'm on draft.
No, I mean, we talked radio rights. We talked all sorts of stuff. It was like, I wish I would have recorded. It'd been a great podcast.
Where was Willie Rofe in all of this? How long did
well,
he
know,
hang
was he in the back of the squad car
no,
too?
No, he just met us at we just ran into him at another bar. But you know how Super Bowl week is. You know all the and he was a Saint at the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Did Jerry get up and sing?
No. No, he was out hanging out with our buddy, the late, great Jimmy Davis. He was there that night, too.
Wait, Jimmy Davis was involved in that?
Yes, he was there that night.
Oh, my gosh. So who was Freezy? How did Freezy get involved in this?
That is when we were going from one place to another, and Freezy was the one who got the chili dogs originally.
Was he Jerry's bodyguard for the trip?
Maybe, yeah. I think he was his New Orleans bodyguard, I guess.
He was the New Orleans Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freezy.
Freezy? What kind of name is Freezy?
A great one. When you want to be called Freezy.
Was he a big guy?
No, he's a little guy. He didn't look like a bodyguard, come to
and,
think of
and
it.
And Roosevelt yeah. is a little guy. What's with Jerry choosing the smallest bodyguards ever?
I think they know...
Karate?
The Russian karate, yeah.
I think they know Russian karate.
Roosevelt and
the
Freezy.
The Russian karate.
No Russian karate.
He said the Russian karate. Did you get drunk that night?
What's your definition of that?
Like break your glasses drunk.
Well, that's because someone, I got bumped. I mean, it was just a madhouse and I got bumped into and
down on...
On Bourbon Street, and they fell down. I got hit so hard that it knocked him off my face, and I reached down to grab him. Someone stepped on him.
Oh, I thought the lens rolled down a sewer grate.
Yeah, I thought you kicked him down
well,
a
it
storm
did,
drain.
Yeah, after someone stepped on him, and I only had one lens.
You didn't pick up the other lens?
It went down a sewer grate.
God, what, that's the greatest night ever.
Oh, that's so insane. I never get tired of hearing
so,
that.
Yeah, that's New Orleans.
Thank you. What Beatles song did you do?
I can't remember. It may have been, it's like at the end of the night, the end of the set, so it may have been like Let It Be or something.
And Jerry looking at you like, yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
What?
What? All right.
All right, there you go.
That's
all right, that's
the corner. 9:32 on the ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.